morning. Good to be with you again. And I think most of you I've probably not met before. As students come and go, you know, but I'm glad to meet you. I think you're much better looking than the last time I were here. Amen. I brought my daughter with me today. I mean, my wife over here, Sister, and she helps me out. And it's good to see some dear folks here, Brother Armacost, Eric, and just it's good to be here. Let's look in Jeremiah 29 this evening, or this morning. Jeremiah 29 is what the Lord laid upon my heart to share with you this morning. I have learned, and I'm still learning, to walk by faith. I think I was talking to a dear friend of mine that after I was saved, he discipled me, and then we got disconnected because he was a missionary down in Mexico, and I didn't get to see him too often. But he's a man that went down there without all of his support. He just went down there by faith. And he told me something just before he passed away. He got cancer. He passed away, and he told me, he said, Brother Herb, he says, you know, most people, most Christians do not really know how exciting it is to live by faith. Because he really did. And I thought, what a statement. Because I think that, you know, we have so much that we don't understand really what it means to walk by faith. But anyways, I'm not going to talk about that. But I want to share some things with you this morning about how to make the best of a difficult situation. You ever been in a difficult situation? How many of you are in a difficult situation? I say, well, I'm here as a student. It's difficult, right? Well, you know, this really, college students, really, take it from me, this right now is probably the best time of your life. This is the good part, because when you get out, you go to the front line. Listen to what I'm saying. And so be content with where you're at and do your best. And, you know, God will honor you for that. But Jeremiah 29, it talks about, Jeremiah tells his people that have been carried off into bondage into Babylon about how to make the best of a difficult situation. Verse 1, it says in Jeremiah 29, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses, and dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that you may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof thou shalt have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have caused to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into this place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me this morning to be a helping and blessing and an encouragement and a challenge to these that are here today. Help us, Lord, to fill me with your Spirit, and help me, Lord, to be helpful. Lord, as we face different areas of life, Lord, we're going to learn some things, I think, from this message that may help us, I pray, in the days to come. So just be with me, Lord, and give me liberty and give me the power to preach your word. And Lord, give us ears to hear your word. I love you, Lord Jesus. I can't think of anything else I'd rather do than serve you and love you. And so help me this morning to be a help to these. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You know, if you measure ministry by results, Jeremiah was a failure. Because for 40 difficult years, 40 years, he proclaimed God's word boldly, and nobody was listening. The people wouldn't listen. And so as a result of the people not listening to God's word, God began to deport them from Israel, took them over to Babylon, that was the result of their disobedience, bondage. And that's the way disobedience always leads to bondage. You know, when you're here and you know you're in school and treasure this time where you're at and be a blessing. Don't be a curse and a problem. I mean, God's got you here for a reason. Amen. And you just need to be content with that. But you know, because Jeremiah was faithful in proclaiming God's word, even though nobody was listening, God protected him, because when the children of Israel were carried off into bondage, God protected Jeremiah because he stood for the truth, even though that nobody liked him and nobody wanted to listen to him. And God protected him. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, when you go in there and you take these Jews away, he said, you know, you take care of Jeremiah. Whatever he wants, wherever he wants to live, you take care of him. Don't do him any harm. And what that tells me, you know, the best place in the world for you to be as a Christian is in the center of God's will. You know, it may not always be, you know, moonlight and roses, as they say. But if you're in the center of where God wants you to be, it's the safest place to be. And so just be content, all right? And so even after God carries the people, the Jews, away into captivity and their exiles, Jeremiah is still ministering to them, because God says, Jeremiah, write them a letter. Write them a letter and send this to the people into Babylon to show them how to make the best of a difficult situation, all right? Now then, what I want you to see in this, number one, what do you do? How do you make the best of a difficult situation? Well, number one, just simply, mark this down if you want to, accept it. Hello? Accept it. All right, look at verse 5 and 6 again. I'll kind of watch the clock here. I get carried away, you know. But anyways, Jeremiah says, now build your houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take your wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there, not diminished. You see, God says just accept where you're at. You're in bondage, but accept it. You know, one thing that has helped me in getting through trials and tests and valleys and difficult situations is to accept the situation as God's will for my life. Okay? God is in control. You may not think so, but God is always in control of your life and my life. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reminds us that in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Now, I notice that it doesn't say for everything. It says in everything. I mean, you know, there's some people that take this to extreme, and they just put on a show, I guess, spiritually. You know, they're so pious, and they'll have a flat tire, and they'll say, oh, thank God I've got a flat tire. Well, that's stupid. That's stupid. That's not spiritual. That's stupid. All right? In everything, give thanks. Now, you might have a flat tire and you say, well, Lord, thank you. Maybe you prevented me from having an accident. I don't know, but Lord, thank you, and let me use this for your glory some way. Maybe somebody will stop and say, hell, do you need some help, you know? Especially if you're like me, you know, you get old, and if I have trouble, I just kind of hunch down a little bit and go like this, you know, they'll stop and help you, see? And, you know, then you can witness to them, see? But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When I accept my circumstances, now get this, as God's divine appointments for me, I am well on my way to finding peace and joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, is it not? Huh? I get tired of this Christianity walking around like, how are you today? I'm saved. Hallelujah. Man, tell your face that. Right? Smile. I mean, look, you'll drive your teacher nuts if you just smile once in a while. You know that? They'll think there's a conspiracy. Smile. But just in everything, give thanks. As Brother Armbacost was saying, that when I left the rubber industry down in Ohio, went up to school, and they put me on a production line there at General Motors, hanging doors on trucks, and I thought it was going to kill me. I thought that's what God was doing. I got to the point, I said, Lord, you brought me here to kill me. I've surrendered my life to you. I've given everything to you, and you brought me here to kill me. You know what he said to me? If thou faint in adversity, thy strength is small.
Amen.
Huh? And I said, okay, Lord. And you know, the Lord was preparing me while I was going through college. And he was saying, I was working 40 hours. Most of the time, we were working probably over 50 hours a week. At that time, working 10-hour shifts and so forth. And I was getting about four to five hours. If I got 5 hours of sleep at night, that was a bonus. But about 4 hours of sleep, I'd go to school. I would go home and try to catch a little nap before I'd go to work. Work 10 hours and then get home somewhere around 2 o'clock in the morning. Go to bed, get up early so we could have devotions with our family. And then I'd go to school for prayer meeting at 6 o'clock. Huh? That's why I walked around with coffee all the time like this. I was a coffeeholic. I had to drink that to keep awake, you know what I mean? But listen, God showed me that that's where he wanted me, all right? And to accept it. And you know what I find when I just accept what God brings my way, I have a whole different outlook about things. A whole different outlook. Jeremiah says to the people, just live as normal as you can, and learn to put up with inconveniences without complaining. Accept it. You know, I think that the Apostle Paul exhibited this in his life, because here's one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, but yet God gave him a thorn in the flesh. I don't think that was his wife, because he wasn't. I don't think he was married. But he had some physical disability, and he wanted to get rid of it. He prayed 3 times. And you know, if anybody's prayer is going to get answered, it'd be the Apostle Paul, I would think. And God said, no, he said, listen, Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. I want you to have this thorn. Accept it. You'll be all right. Rely upon my strength, God said. And see, Paul had a different outlook about things when he just accepted his circumstance. You see? He said, for I have learned. We have to learn this. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Are you content this morning? Huh? You know, when I went to college, of course, we got some high school students here too. And when I went to school, it was the greatest time in my life. I loved it. I just enjoyed it. But yet, it always amazed me about a lot of these students that I went to school with. It seemed like their favorite pastime was complaining. Now, I'm probably not speaking to the right crowd here today, right? Because you never complain, do you? Do you? Oh, I had one fellow, I went into Pentateuch, and I'd sit down there, and this fellow sitting next to me, he'd look at me and he'd say, you know what? I don't like the rules here. He said, you know what? I could teach this class better than that guy could. He said, you know what? It's a shame. I think it's a crime. We have to pay for this. Really? I was having the time of my life. This went on for, I think, about a week. And one morning I went in there, Brother Eric, and I hadn't drank my coffee yet. And I was sitting there, and I looked over at this fellow, and he looks at me, and he started, you know, and I said, hold it, hold it. I said, I've been listening to you complain all week about this school. You don't like this rule. You don't like that rule. You don't like this class. You don't like this teacher. I said, listen, I love the rules. I wish they were tougher. And I said, I like this teacher. And I said, I'm glad I'm here. And I said, you know, I've been listening to, and I really did. I said, I've been listening to this. And I said, you know what? I am sick of hearing it. And if you don't shut up, I'm going to grab you by the nape of the neck and drag you into Dr. Malone, and you can complain to him. I can't do anything about it. He can. And he wouldn't speak to me. He wouldn't speak to me after that. But you know what happened? About a week went by. We were in the church service, and they gave the invitation. And when he gave the invitation, he comes over to me, and he said, would you come and pray with me? I said, sure. He got down on his knees, and you know what he did? He accepted where God had put him. And he asked God's forgiveness for complaining and murmuring and griping. And you know, then he had a whole different outlook. We actually became good friends, you see. But we need to be careful, because complaining can become a habitual response to every situation that God allows us to go through. And it's contagious. It's contagious. Like this one, these two farmers, you know, this one farmer's always negative, always negative, always complaining. And this other farmer, you know, he's trying to, you know, you going to plant any corn this year? No, it's going to be too wet to rot. Well, you're going to, well, how about plant some wheat? No, that's going to be too dry. He said, what am I going to do? So this guy, they both like to hunt. This guy had a good hunting dog. And he said, I'm going to see if I can't get this guy to be positive. Quit his complaining. He said, hey, you want to go duck hunting? And he says, yeah. So they go duck hunting, you know. And this guy had a special dog. So, boy, they're calling in the ducks, and the ducks come in there, and the fellow pulled up, bop, boy, and he got that duck, and the mallard falls in the water. And this fellow's thinking, he says, oh, what this guy will think of this. He said, okay, go get that dog. Go get that bird. Boy, that dog got out of the blind and walked on the water over there, picked up that bird and walked on the water and came back and sit down, dropped that bird there. And this old fellow says, what'd you think of that? He said, surely you'll be positive on this one. The fellow says, as for nothing, he said, apparently your dog can't swim. You know what complaining reveals? A lack of trust in God. Think about that. A lack of trust in God. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You see, the truth is, when we do not accept things that God brings into our life, we become complainers instead of thanksgivers. So accept it. You're right where God wants you to be. Accept it. Enjoy the day. Huh? Accept it, all right? If you know you're in the will of God, stay right there. And let me just say that, you know, that if you are here, God led you here, you're in the will of God, all right? So be content about it. Now, there's going to be some bumps. You understand? There's always bumps. God always tests his children. And so when you hit a bump, you know, some people, you know, I don't know, some of you drive, a lot of you drive, some of you maybe don't drive, you know. People even drive, you know, and every time I drive, go out on the roads today, I almost have to accept what I'm going to face. I put on my gloves, my helmet, you know what I mean? I mean, people are idiots. They drive like idiots and go out there. And I tell you, I have a, honey, you stay out of this now. But I'll tell you, I have a terrible time when I'm driving, you know. But I try to be careful. I try to be careful, really. I take my time and just accept it. There's going to be problems and everything. I find a lot of Christians, what I call horn cuss. You're a horn cuss? Oh, I never cuss, not me. Oh, yeah? Yeah. You drive and somebody cuts out in front of you. You go, and what you're saying through that horn, right? Huh? Think about that. You go to Walmart, and boy, you're getting that, there's that place right up front, and you get there, and some little old lady goes in there, and you go, You know, I preached about this at our church some time ago, Brother Harry, and a fella came to church the following Sunday after I preached about horn cussing, and he says, Pastor, he said, I have something to tell you. And I said, what? You all right? He said, yeah. He said, I disconnected my horn. He did. Hey, accept it. Accept it. All right? Number two, he says, be patient. Be patient. All right? Just accept it. Be patient. Verse 7 says, and seek the peace of the city. Whether I've caused you to be carried away captives, and pray for the Lord for it, and for in the peace thereof thou shalt have peace. Accept your situation and be patient. God says, I have the timing all worked out, and remember, my plans never fail. In fact, look at verse 10. He says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, in causing you to return to this place. Huh? You know, things will change. Things always change. The book of James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see? But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if you lack wisdom, hey, ask of God, he'll give you wisdom to be patient in your difficult situation, you see? Be patient. Hudson Taylor told his missionary candidates that there were three indispensable requirements for being a missionary. Patience. It reminds me of a story I read once about this school teacher, and she had a class of about 30 first graders. All right? And they don't probably have them that big anymore, but they did that. But she back in the other, these were earlier days, like in my days, and the kids would come to school. It was rainy one day, and they came to school, and they wore their goulashes. You know what goulashes are? Some of you do, some of you don't. What, goulashes, we used to call them arctics. They were just rubber boots you pulled over your shoes, and then they had those buckles on them. And you'd snap those buckles, and there's probably about 10, at least 10 buckles on that, on the boot, on each boot. Well, this teacher, at the end of the day, she gets down with these 30 first graders, and she's putting on their galoshes for them. She snaps up there. She got to the 30th student. So she puts these galoshes on this little girl, you know, little girl sitting there real quietly, and she got it all done, and she said, oh, finally done, this teacher. And the little girl, when she got them all buckled up and everything, the little girl said, those aren't my galoshes. Snap, 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 stick, all snap, took them off. And as soon as she pulled them off her feet, you know, she looks up at this little girl, and the little girl says, they're my sister. She loaned them to me today. So she puts them back on. Snap it. Patience. patience. God says to his people, be patient because I know how long and how much. Listen, there's no temptation, trial, difficulty. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to what? Bear it. Be patient. Be patient. Accept your situation and just be patient. You know, the Bible says, Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if, what? We faint not. You know, when I was in college, and I was working a job and trying to put food on the table, send my kids through Christian school, and my first year in college, Brother Armacost, I carried 22 hours and working. I was 32 years old at that time. And you know, it didn't bother me. See, I'm only 35 now. But anyway, no, I'm a little older than that. But I mean, you know, they come up to me, and here I am so busy in school and working, and they come up to me, and they had 61 buses in their bus ministry. And they said, Brother Hutchison, you've had some experience with management and that. And they said, we want you to be a division leader. Would you do that on the buses? And I said, well, sure. So we had buses, and what they, we'd have special outings. And so the bus director comes to me, and he said, Brother Herb, we're going to have a special outing for the bus kids, just the bus kids. And we're going to take the bus kids down to the Detroit Zoo. And he said, I would like to put you in charge of those buses and 1,500 kids. And, you know, zeal without knowledge? I said, amen, me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we took 1,500 kids, some from inner city Detroit, took them down to the Detroit Zoo. When we opened the doors of those buses, those kids just run out into that zoo. You never saw anything like it in your life. I went down to the sound tower, and I told the fellows immediately when I got there, I said, we're from Emmanuel Baptist, and we got these kids here for the zoo. Yeah, we've been expecting you and everything. And so I gave them my name and everything. I said, if you need me. We weren't there 20 minutes. Would Herb Hutchison report to the sound tower immediately? And I went to the sound tower. I said, what's wrong? He said, you got to get these kids out of here now, now. The kids had jumped the fence because they had a place called Monkey Island with a moat around it, water. And the bus kids had jumped the fence. They were in the water throwing stuff at the monkeys. And the monkeys were all huddled up on the top of the mountain, fearing for their lives. And we're trying to get those kids out of the water and everything. He said, you got to get these kids out of here now. I mean, he said, the lions are nervous. The lions were cowering in the back of their cages going like this with those bus kids. It was terrible. So we got those kids on the bus and got them, tried to get them loaded up, get them rounded up. I mean, it was pandemonium. One of the kids, he was kind of like a ringleader. I got a hold of him and I said, what's your name? He said, Legion. I said, get on the bus. Boy, he got on the bus. We headed. We headed for Pontiac. We got him back here, and I wanted to quit. I said, I am quitting the bus ministry. I have had enough of it. And the bus director said, would you hang on one more week? Because I said, I'm going to go sing in the choir. And he said, would you hang on one more week? And I said, okay. So that Saturday, I went out calling, and bus calling, and I went to this door. And the fellow comes there, And he looks at me. And I told him who I was, and he said, would you come in? And I said, sure. I went in there. He said, would you sit down at the table? I remember sitting at the table. And as I looked on the table, there was one of these door hangers from our church with the plan of salvation and everything. He had that sitting on the table. He said, sit down. He said, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. And you know, a little bit, he said, I read that tract that you left, and I'd left it the week before. And he said, God's been speaking to my heart. He said, what do I need to do to be saved? And I led the man to the Lord. He got saved. And he says, well, now that I'm saved, what does the Lord want me to do? And I said, well, you should follow the Lord in baptism, join the church, and start serving the Lord. He said, okay. He said, excuse me 1 minute. And he left. I thought he had to go to the bathroom, so he left. And when he left, he went up the steps, and two of his teenage boys were sitting on the steps. And they stuck their heads around there, and I said, were you sitting there all the time? And he said, yes. And I said, did you hear what I was telling your dad? And he said, yes. And I said, would you want to be saved too? And he said, yes, we were hoping you would ask. Led them to the Lord. About that time, Dad comes downstairs. He had on a three-piece suit. I said, oh. I said, are you going somewhere? I said, I'm sorry, we can go. He said, no. He said, you said be baptized. He said, boys, get ready. We're going to go get baptized. This is on Thursday night. And I had never baptized anybody yet. I hadn't had that class. Really, I didn't know. I knew there were two ordinances. You know, the Lord's Supper and baptism. You know, I thought maybe I might lower this guy and say, here, drink ye all of it. I don't know. I was nervous. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. So I said, well, I said, you want to be, he says, I want to be baptized tonight. The boys come down. I says, well, I didn't know what to do. I said, we can't do this. He said, why? I said, we never baptize on Thursday. We never baptize on Thursday. He said, well, you said be baptized. And I said, well, I said, the water's probably, it's cold. We never heat the water on Thursday. It'll be ice cold. And this fellow said, you know, I fought in Korea for my country till my boots were frozen into the water in the bottom of that foxhole. And he said, if I can do that for my country, I can be baptized in cold water. Let's go. So I took him down to the church, and I thought, oh, what am I going to do? And I walked in there, and you know the assistant pastor was there with three or four deacons. And I said, told them what happened, these men went. And they said, well, they want to get baptized? Let's baptize them. I said, but isn't the water cold? He said, no. He said, we had trouble with the baptistry Sunday, and we just got through working on it. We filled it up and heated it. It's ready to go. So we took the fellows up there, and the assistant pastor, he said, well, Brother Herb, he said, you want them? He said, I'll give you the privilege. We'll witness it, and you baptize them. And I baptized those men. You know, in your difficult situation, accept it.
Amen.
And be patient. Be patient. And trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I don't have time for that. We need to close. But trust in the Lord. If you get that, you know, you'll be happy. You'll be a blessing to other people's lives. And by the way, you won't miss maybe some great opportunities that God has in store for you. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I sure thank you for your word. You've proven over and over to me just these different situations, circumstances in life. Lord, how you've taught me. Lord, help these precious students, Lord, that are here training, learning about you. I know that maybe some of them think they're in a really difficult circumstance, but Lord, help them, Lord, to just accept your will for their life. And help them to be patient, Lord, and just learn to trust you, because you're going to give them an expected end that, Lord, you think upon them. You think upon us. And it just amazes me that you would have time to think on us individually, because you want the best for us and out of us for the glory of our precious Savior. Lord, maybe there's some here today that's had some difficult circumstances they're facing right now. They're going through some troubles. Lord, would you help them today just to accept their situation, to be content where they are, and to be patient and let you work out your perfect will in their life. And Lord, while they're waiting, just trust you. Just trust you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. So Lord, did we pause just for a moment of invitation, Lord, if there's some that need to come. Maybe at this altar, just say, Lord, help me to accept what you have for me. Help me to be patient, Lord. Most of all, just to trust you, Lord, because you know what's doing. You're doing in my life. And I'll thank you for that, Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the piano just plays softly, if you need to come, maybe to this altar, just pray for a moment. Say, Lord, help me to be content, to thank you in my situation. It may be difficult, but just trust the Lord.